this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Network. I am Chris Michaels. Do not forget to head on over to the America Out Loud shop, where you can find plenty of very beneficial products for you and your family. So as we get into the election season of 2024, we're starting to see signs of a Summer of Love 2.0. I brought this up many times, so if everyone remembers back in 2020, when there was Summer of Love, the Genesis, Summer of Love 1.0, that was when Antifa and Black Lives Matter decided to ravage cities by setting them on fire and engaging in riots, and the police were forced to essentially stand down due to these rogue attorneys generals and district attorneys that allowed this to happen. This is when we got all of the ridiculous headlines and news stories about how there were slightly rambunctious riots, but no real damage, whilst in the background you saw stores on fire and so on. Adam Schiff this week went to a fundraiser in San Francisco. He is trying to replace Dianne Feinstein. Thankfully, she's gone, but we have to deal with this guy. He was, parking in a parking garage, oddly enough, on his way to a very, very big upper cruster fundraiser for himself. Whilst he was parking his car, his luggage was stolen, and ultimately he had to go to this dinner, which was, by the way, suit and tie affair in shirt sleeves and a regular vest. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, the left-wing Senate hopeful was at the event to thank high-profile lawyer Joe Kochet for his support to replace Dianne Feinstein. And Kochet's press agent, Lee Housekeeper, I can't believe that's someone's last name, but here we are, who was at the dinner at Ristorante Roca and warned Schiff not to leave anything in the car and reportedly told him, I guess it's welcome to San Francisco. That's right. If you live in California, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, they tell you not to lock your car. And the reason why is because your car is more than likely going to be broken into. So rather than dealing with insurance claims and broken windows and so on, you might as well just leave it open for these crooks to get whatever it is that they want, because it's a lot easier to replace a book bag than it is to replace car windows. So he confirmed with the Chronicle, Mr. Schiff, yes, they took my bags, but I'm here to thank Joe. Housekeeper joked by saying maybe he can go out with Willie Brown to choose a new suit from one of the many fine clothing establishments in San Francisco. Willie knows them all. Oh, what a witty repartee we have with the Democrat upper crusters we have here. So this is just one of those ways that we have to deal with all of these rogue Democrat policies. And you also saw headlines across the week about the pro-Palestinian movement that decided to take over various campuses all across this country. And you are more than likely going to start to see them out in the streets, just like you saw Antifa in 2020. Now, this is the way the Democrats positioned Antifa. Antifa was essentially the militaristic arm of the Democrat Party and was being funded and financed through Black Lives Matter. Now, essentially what would happen is that Black Lives Matter would go across the country during the day and Antifa would be unleashed at night. The right wing, the Fox News and so on, would create the idea that both of those organizations are one and the same. And behind closed doors, they more than likely are. But what was really going on is that you had two different groups. You had one that was a radical leftist anarcho resistance group in the form of Antifa. By the way, if you do any sort of research on the Antifa fist, you find out that it essentially comes from Serbia. And then you could do a little bit of research on what happened in Serbia during the election of 2020, and you will not be surprised about what I am hinting at. But moving right along, you're going to start to see the same kind of playbook right now. This is my prediction. These pro-Palestinians being funded by groups like CARE and also George Soros and through various NGOs, they're going to be the same group of individuals that are going to ravage this country come election season. And it will be used in a way to allow the Democrats to say, oh, we need to maintain mail-in ballots because crime is just out of control. The only way to safely vote is through the USPS. Oh, and by the way, the United States Postal Service Union will throw its weight behind Joseph Biden just like it did in 2020, and you will have the same situation where a massive amount of mail-in ballots come from out of nowhere, or a whole bunch of Republican ballots voting for Donald Trump just go poof and vanish in the middle of the desert, just like we found out in Arizona. So this is what we are probably going to be looking at here. They are using the minority vote to agitate the rest of the United States society. Everybody remember Rush Limbaugh? Rush Limbaugh used to call Barack Obama a community agitator before he joined the Senate. Well, that's exactly what you're seeing here. And is it anybody's surprise, especially since we all have heard the rumors that Barack Obama is the one pulling the strings behind the Biden administration? So, even though they decided to seemingly throw the African-American vote to the side in favor of the pro-Palestinian movement and also illegal immigrants, Biden is still trying to cater to the African-American vote. Actually, I shouldn't even phrase it that way. He's not really catering to it. He's just not trying to agitate them further. From the Wall Street Journal, Biden drops cigarette ban to court black voters. He was trying to ban menthol cigarettes. Well, if you are to go along with the stereotypes, the African-American population chooses menthol cigarettes over any other kind of cigarette, according to this article. About 81% of black smokers use menthols as of 2020, the year when Biden got 91% of the black vote. I don't buy that statistic at all. Recent polls showed only 68% of African Americans planning to support the Democrats this time around. Well, that's a really large problem, don't you think? It's clear that there are still more conversations to have, said Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra, and that we will take significantly more time to approach the menthol ban. So there you go. You have the Democrats, the Biden administration itself, engaging in systemic racism by going along with the trope about African Americans and how they like to choose menthol cigarettes over any other kind of cigarette. So, in order to maintain any sort of African American vote that's left, because we all saw that big drop that I just referenced, he will not be touching menthol cigarettes. Now, if you were a comedian working blue, there are plenty of roads to go down to make jokes about this, but being a broadcast professional on the America Out Loud Network, old Chris Michaels will refrain. But moving right along, another way that Joseph Biden is trying to consolidate the vote is through this idea of banning TikTok. Now, why would he want to ban TikTok? Well, it's a very, very deep conversation. The surface level is that, well, it's a Chinese-run company. And so if anybody has TikTok on their phone, they're essentially indirectly giving the Chinese government access to every single piece of data on your phone, including your keystrokes and what you search for in your search engines. Well, that's not bad, is it? Moving along, we also know that TikTok is allowing conservative messages to be broadcasted and none of it is banned. What we also find out is that a lot of the messages on TikTok involving the Middle East conflict between Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, and Israel is overwhelmingly pro-Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. So you have a massive PR problem, according to Greenblatt, from the ADL. He is worried about anti-Semitism. I would suspect he's more worried about losing the PR war, and his money is being thrown behind Joseph Biden. Up next, I'm going to be getting into what we've started to find out about Donald Trump and his documents case.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
This is Unleashed. I am Chris Michaels, and you are on the America Out Loud Network. So at this point, we are starting to see election 2024 really ramp up, especially when going after Trump. So the big hullabaloo is that Trump has supposedly, according to the Biden administration and Count Dooku from Star Wars lookalike Jack Smith, that Trump has had classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, and he wasn't supposed to have them. And on top of that, they're also arguing that he did not keep them in a safe space. Oh. However, nobody on the Democrat side or within the FBI or DOJ leadership would dare touch how the president did the same exact thing when he was vice president and a senator. Ah. How come they didn't do this? He even kept these files, which he was illegally housing in a garage strewn about in his library at Penn State. Somehow, the FBI decided to argue that, well, due to old Joe's old age, he wouldn't know left from right, nor would he be able to answer the questions in any fashion where his memory serves him well. He can't even remember how his son died. He can't even remember his own past. So what would be the point of bringing up any sort of charges against a feeble dotard that can't even tie his shoes properly. Well, as this case moves on, it's becoming clearer and clearer how the Biden administration and the DOJ have been trying to set Trump up from day one. This was from JoeHoft.com. Revealed court document releases indicates that Jack Smith and the FBI were after Obama and North Korea-related documents in the Mar-a-Lago raid. Well, this is just the beginning. So apparently, there were a couple of items that Trump had that could prove to be an embarrassment at the Democrat Party's behest, such as, what was Crossfire Hurricane all about? When did Obama's administration start illegally spying on Donald Trump and anybody associated with Donald Trump and his campaign? Were the Obama holdouts in the bureaucracy of Washington, D.C., abusing their positions of power, and for all intents and purposes, breaking the law, but doing so in such a way where it was a technicality of legality? Well, we find out that there was some kind of document in the Mar-a-Lago raid that they really wanted. Julie Kelly touched upon this by saying that there are revelations coming out about this. Jack Smith argued not to release a bunch of government documents coming from the Obama and Biden side of it. It looks as though that there were some kind of documents in that where Barack Obama was trying to essentially set up Donald Trump to have a confrontation with North Korea. Trump, in 2017, said that after he met Barack Obama before his inauguration, that Obama was on the brink of starting a war with North Korea. And Trump also claimed that Obama was close to starting a big war with North Korea. Now we kind of get an understanding of why Donald Trump decided to visit North Korea, knowing that he has to deal with an ingrained deep state just like every other country on this planet. Donald Trump took his own steps to meet with Kim Jong-un and try to argue for peace, something that a president is almost forbidden to do. And we find out also, and this comes from Julie Kelly, that within 25 hours of receiving 15 boxes from Mar-a-Lago, NARA, the archivist, decided to make an assessment. And we also have determined that there was an accordion folder that included potential crimes that Obama and the Bidens committed. There was one accordion folder in the mess, so it stood out, is the quote from her. It contained, among other things, the Obama letter and North Korea correspondence. We need to verify that all the correspondence is there, but apparently, according to this email document that was unredacted, they say, but I think we are in good shape. And the DOJ also, by saying, I think we are in good shape, they're hinting at a couple of things. They could be hinting at that, one, they've obtained all of the documents that would implicate the Obama administration in trying to start a war with North Korea at the start of Donald Trump's presidency. Or they could also say whatever documents that they have over there regarding the illegal procedures that Barack Obama and Vice President at the time, Joseph Biden, decided to engage in during the transition period were covered up and obtained. Because as we know, Donald Trump has, when he was leaving, declassified everything associated with the investigation into him throughout his presidency, and subsequently all of the hoaxes that he were engaged in. This is why the Democrats constantly go after Donald Trump. They were trying to make a deal with Donald Trump, by the way. If he just dropped out of this race, and this was on Rachel Maddow's show a couple of years ago, if he just dropped out of the race, the Democrats would be willing to cut a deal with him. Now, she didn't say this exactly like I'm saying it. I'm reading between the lines. I'm telling you what the message was, because at this point, we all know, if we see it in a mainstream media outlet, they're sending messages to one another, each camp. They won't directly engage in any kind of negotiations, at least not publicly, but they will make little smoke signals across the media. Well, this is one of those instances. Donald Trump, they don't want him to run because he knows where the bodies are buried. He knows how illegal the activities of the Obama administration are and were. He also knows the amount of damage they've done to this country. He probably also knows what kind of shenanigans were played on the election of 2020. Well, once Donald Trump left the White House, and by the way, he left the White House peacefully, regardless of what the Democrats try to tell you and what they try to run up the flagpole. Remember this, they always say how Donald Trump is the penultimate fascist. The only one greater than him was Adolf Hitler. They keep saying and trying to tell us that Donald Trump doesn't want a democracy. Donald Trump is going to take over the government. He's going to persecute his opponents. He's going to go after people that he doesn't like. Well, I hate to tell you, maybe the Democrats and the mainstream media should take a long gander into the mirror, because that's exactly what they're doing and engaging in. The media covering up for the illegalities that the Biden administration is more than likely engaging in to get Trump. This was broken over the weekend, and it is going to gain traction. Now, this involves the General Services Administration. What do? They essentially are all about documents in the government. And as we're finding out more and more, they potentially did some kind of subversive activity against Donald Trump related to this whole documents case. Ah, Patrick Webb, reporter. Unsealed transcript of FBI witness interview reveals the GSA ordered Trump to take pallets of boxes full of documents, allegedly the same ones marked with classified from the Mar-a-Lago raid. And here is the quote from the document. One of the things I wanted to talk about, if you remember, sometimes after the administration ended, GSA had approximately six pallets of items, boxes, I believe, that were stored in Virginia. At some point, I guess there were maybe a time limit, I'm not entirely sure, they contacted the office of 45 to inform them that, you know, they have to go. Someone has to pick them up. Or do they have to be shipped or something to that effect? Does this ring a bell to you at all? So here is what we can imply from this unredacted statement, that the Biden administration somehow found or created a whole pallet, or actually six pallets in this case, of items they are claiming belong to Donald Trump. And the GSA was holding it until Donald Trump was able to pick them up. Now, what strikes me, and this is where I am going to go with this, is that, one, is this true? Did the Trump administration, in fact, just leave six pallets behind willy-nilly, and it just slipped their mind? Possibly. A lot of administrations that leave the White House, especially a one-term administration, must do so at all haste. So, more than likely, there will be documents and pallets that were just, oddly enough, left behind. But, as we know, the Biden administration, and by default, the Obama 2.0 administration, they engage in all kinds of subversive activities. And in this case, it is my conjecture. Do not quote me on this. Don't say it's Chris Michaels. He is reporting truth. This is merely my conjecture. That the Biden administration did in fact find some pallets that did truly belong to the Trump administration. Now, what strikes me as odd is that if these documents were the documents that caused the Mar-a-Lago raid, what are the odds that the Biden administration decided to slip some of these documents into some of these six pallets and did not tell the Trump side of the equation? So right here, you then have, would have, by the way, this is all a scenario. We're taking this with a grain of salt. We would have the Biden administration definitively knowing that Trump had classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Why? Because they're the ones that planted them there in the six pallets. So no matter what Jack Smith decides to try to tell you, or what the Biden administration decides to tell you, that, oh, Trump had the gold codes, Trump still had the nuclear football, More than likely, these documents, at least in my opinion, from doing this for many, many years, commenting on political activity and current events, more than likely, the Democrats planted some of those documents in those six pallets, which generated the raid on Mar-a-Lago by default. Julie Kelly continues by saying, well, I'm pretty sure we never heard of this part. And that is just exactly what we have to deal with. She also goes through another unredacted document where they review that there were 15 boxes. And this is also part of this whole equation here. The classified documents provided to the government in a red weld envelope pursuant to the subpoena were represented to have been stored in the boxes located in the storage room based in the First Lady's statement. And they did not search for classified information in other locations at the premises. So they were searching for these 15 boxes. Now, what's important to note here is that they are purposefully redacting or trying to redact all of this document. Now, I can go on and on with the legal wording of the whole thing, but it is essentially learning how sausage is made. It's pretty dry. So the rationale, she says, Julie Kelly, since the FBI claimed national defense info was found in the NARA boxes, the archivist boxes, and docs produced to FBI in response to the May subpoena, Trump had NDI files in his bedroom, so the FBI should be allowed to conduct an armed 9-hour raid to find them. Now, going back to what I said before, what are the odds that the Biden administration decided to plant those documents in an effort to scour all of Mar-a-Lago to begin with and use that as the precedent to try and find God knows what? Julie Kelly continues, unsealed filings and classified docs include FBI affidavit to get a search warrant to raid Mar-a-Lago. This is how the DOJ shifted their investigation from classified docs to the Espionage Act. So by now, once again, playing devil's advocate, if the Biden administration decided to contain documents from the NDI in that six-pallet shipment, then they could escalate what they are going after Trump for. You see how this is all set up? This is all to get Trump. That's how this is working, because they know that for the most part, we, on the public side, at least what we see, we're not seeing anything that Trump has done that is illegal. All we're seeing is the Biden administration doing nasty things, like all of the hoaxes we have to deal with. And now, if any of this is true as to what I'm postulating here, planting documents in these six pallets, planting documents to get Trump. Julie Kelly also continues, newly unredacted FBI interview, by the way, FBI and unidentified Mar-a-Lago employee. They're deciding to go after a personal friend of Donald Trump, or I should say a close personal aide, could be a friend, more than likely is, Walt Nauta, N-A-U-T-A. Now, what's interesting about this in these documents is that in order to go after Walt Nauta, They are, the FBI and DOJ and Biden administration by default, they are trying to gin up dirt on his personal life. And in the questioning, because we've noticed that this has caused stress for different people, so we just didn't know. Okay, let's see. So you said Walt Still works at the 45 office. Who is Walt close to at work, personal life? And I want to ask everything. That's what these FBI agents are asking. And ultimately, they end up trying to determine whether or not Walt was seeing somebody. They're trying to dig dirt on his personal life, who he's dating, who he's sleeping with. Does this sound like a DOJ and FBI that is about to uphold the law and to make sure that justice is served unbiased across the whole realm? Well, of course not. They ultimately, the FBI, end up taking the phones and also delivering to the DOJ his data from his phones. Now, Stanley Woodward in these documents is the lawyer dealing with all of this on the Trump side. And he requests in these emails dated November 29th, 2022, could we please see the warrant and the return as soon as possible? We would also ask that Mr. Nauta's devices not be searched until we agree on a filter protocol for any applicable privileges. If the department is not amenable to such a request, please advise so we can seek appropriate temporary relief from the court. And essentially, a gentleman by the name of Michael Thacker, assistant U.S. attorney at the U.S. Attorney's Office, says this: attached are the warrant and return for Nauta's phones. And don't worry, he says we have a filter protocol in place. The phones will be downloaded and reviewed by a filter team and so on. He's basically, Mr. Thacker, thumbing his nose at the law and ultimately Stanley Woodward dealing with Mr. Nauta as an attorney, by saying, don't worry about it, Pops. We've got it covered. Stay out of this. We want our man, and we're going to get him no matter what. This is not how justice is supposed to be done. This is how a rogue Department of Justice acts in a borderline fascistic state. They're going after Trump because he is the largest opponent to the Biden administration, the Democrats, and the rollover Republican rhinos that work with the Democrats for all intents and purposes. Donald Trump, for what it's worth, hasn't started a war, unlike Joseph Biden, who has brought this world to the brink of a nuclear war thanks to the Ukraine and what's going on in the Middle East. How could this be possible? How could this nation go from not having any wars to the brink of a nuclear war? There's an agenda. And apparently, for whatever it's worth, Donald Trump decided to throw a spanner in the works and stall all of the deep state's plans to bring this world to its knees in some bizarre, twisted agenda that we can only fathom in our darkest dreams. But this is what we are forced to deal with here. We're finding out that they being choose your elite behind the closed doors that are orchestrating things, that they are working overtime to go after Donald Trump. You could see it in the immigration issue. You could see it with the mail-in ballots. We've also heard rumors that erupted this week that Joseph Biden is considering declaring a climate emergency, which would give him powers that are slightly more than what the governors decided to instill upon us during COVID, and also by default, the federal government with people like Dr. Fauci. How would that work during an election cycle? Doesn't make much sense, does it? But they will argue for mail-in ballots. We also have many other media commentators that are joining forces. Sometimes these people should appear to be publicly on the opposite ends of the spectrum. But once again, when you're dealing with a deep state-like apparatus, they don't care. They don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. They all have the same agenda, whether that's more war, whether that's 15-minute cities and World Economic Forum climate crises, it doesn't matter. It is an agenda that the most of us are not privy to. We can only consider the options that are before us. So in the Gateway Pundit, we're finding out that a group of Trump-hating media commentators have been meeting weekly for 2 years in order to strategize on a narrative to take down Donald Trump. So who do we have here? And you'll recognize a lot of these names. Bill Kristol, one of the worst, debaucherous, ugly human beings on the planet. Andrew Weissman, Lawrence Tribe. If you ever follow this degenerate over on X, Lawrence Tribe writes the most pro-Democrat, far-left-leaning, inflammatory remarks against Donald Trump, and it is almost unbelievable that this person isn't banned for the outright lies he has told all throughout the Trump presidency and well into the Biden administration. George Conway, former husband of Kellyanne Conway, remember her and them, also a reprehensible and unfortunate-looking individual suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. Jeffrey Toobin from CNN, another maniacal lunatic that can't get out of his own way, and many others. These people, even though they come on both sides of the spectrum here, on the political spectrum, are the ones orchestrating the media campaign against Donald Trump. And then, if you want to go one step further, just look at who sits on the board of Fox News. Look at those individuals. Maybe you'll recognize some of them that used to be with the Republican Party but got drummed out during the Trump administration for one reason or another. Turns out that a lot of them happen to be rhinos. Republicans in name only. So this is how dangerous this is. The individuals mentioned here, and the Politico actually does an article on this as well. They go into a lot more detail and depth. And this is how dangerous these people are. Because they realize that the jig is up. That if Donald Trump gets into office yet again, he understands the landscape. And by default, Donald Trump will be able to go after these people. And I don't think he'll be as nice as he was in the first administration, assuming he gets in. Because at this point, we understand what's at stake here. And we know for a fact that these people are playing for keeps. Just look at what they're doing with Joseph Biden and treating him with kid's gloves. Every time Joseph Biden walks anywhere, he is rapidly surrounded by advisors and aides to cover up the fact that the man can barely walk and he shuffles everywhere he goes. At some point, you have to question whether or not the Democrats are engaging in elderly abuse with this guy. So this is what we have to learn about. We have to continue to delve into the facts and demand unredacted documents about this whole case against these documents against Donald Trump. Because, as Julie Kelly has found out, the Biden administration more than likely planted the same exact documents that they went after Trump for. This is a setup from soup to nuts.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
liberty, and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Unleashed on the America Out Loud Network with Chris Michaels, the hour-long political show. You can hear us every weekday, 7 p.m., and elsewhere on your podcasting network platforms as well. So to give you a little bit of background into my Chris Michaels life, I have done the next step. I have decided to adopt a rescue dog. So this rescue dog is what I think a mix between a German short-haired pointer and some kind of bull mix, either a bulldog or maybe some kind of American pit bull dog. I don't know. So he's got the mottled coat of a German short-haired pointer. He's got the paws of a pointer, but he's just got this massive cassava melon style head that you can't even get the harness around it unless you stretch it out as much as possible. So this guy is stuck to me, stuck at the hip, and that's okay. You know, usually rescue dogs take a little bit of a period of adjustment when they're with you, but he is one of the sweetest guys I've ever met. He just does nothing. He doesn't bark at anybody. He doesn't do anything. He just wants to hang out and eat. He's probably gotten the best meals he's gotten in probably years. So maybe I'll post pictures of him. If you want, you can go follow me on social media, Last Call Caravan, on Instagram and also on X. And you can, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll post a few pictures. The guy is just like this huge, enormous mush. So I'm grateful for that. But one thing I am not grateful for is Arizona. Now, if you've listened to my other podcasts, or maybe I've mentioned it here, I used to live in Arizona, and I did some little stint in politics out there. I started to get involved at the local and state level where I was living, and it became abundantly clear to me that the politicians over there that claim to be Republicans are really Democrats running on the Republican ticket. And these people are John McCain holdovers, and they will do everything in their power to make sure that Donald Trump does not get elected, even if it means getting Democrats elected. So Arizona is on the precipice of a massive woke-style state mechanism, much like New York City, San Diego, San Francisco, California, and whatever else. Never mind the fact that there is plenty of what I would consider to be evidence, but other people would contest that claim, of possibly the election being taken from the rightful winner back in 2020 and again in 2022. So there has been an unraveling of the situation over there in Arizona, all because of this, in my opinion, lunatic Governor Katie Hobbs. So first up, SB 2581 legislation. Ms. Hobbs decides to do what we all feared, and that is she has vetoed this bill that would require, guess what, somebody to prove that they were a resident in Arizona to vote in an election. SB 2581 stipulates that a resident is an individual who has actually had physical presence in the state for 180 days with the intent to remain. And there are also exceptions to all of this. Now, she decided to say that, well, we don't need a definition of residency in Arizona. And we don't necessarily require proof of residency to make sure that you can vote in Arizona. So now, what do we have here? We are looking at the potential situation where we have another, or suspected, stolen election in this state. Now, think about this. You have unfettered illegal immigration. Notice how Arizona has been kept out of the news, either on the Republican or Democrat side, about what they are trying to do to stop illegal immigration across their border. Now, for what it's worth, most of the illegal immigration happens to occur in Texas or California. And I think San Diego is possibly the worst spot along the border, last time I checked. However, why isn't Arizona doing anything about this? Do you mean to tell me that Arizona is completely clean? They don't have any illegal crossings anywhere? I sincerely doubt that. So how come that is? Well, it's what I just mentioned. You have a Democrat governor. You've got compromised pseudo-Republicans working with Democrats to instill a World Economic Forum woke-style legislation piece in this state to turn it Democrat. This state used to be Republican. Most voters in Arizona, I would contest, are either Republican or what they claim to be middle-of-the-road Republicans, which is a dubious claim at best, especially since COVID, when you had the mass migration coming out of California, Oregon, and also Washington State, going to places like Boise, Idaho, Texas, and also Phoenix and Scottsdale. So this is one more way that they are going to try to make sure that they are able, they being illegal immigrants, are able to vote in the upcoming election. Well, you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to do anything otherwise to say that you are, in fact, a resident of the state. You just claim to be, and well, that's it. In another instance on how Miss Hobbs is doing everything in her power to turn the state into a George Soros-style woke sanctuary state, it is Senate Bill 1414. What does this do? The legislation deemed that a person who is convicted of a third or subsequent violation of organized retail theft with the intent to resell or trade the stolen merchandise to be sentenced as a Category 2 repetitive offender, as opposed to the current law, which classifies repeat offenders as a Category 1 repetitive offender for the second and subsequent offenses, and so on and so forth. This is the same exact style legislation, albeit it's probably a slightly lighter, than what you see in New York State, San Diego, San Francisco. This is why you see all of these locations being ravaged by crime. These people go into retail stores. They make sure they shoplift $995 or whatever the exact amount is so that you don't get arrested. In some places, it's generally, if you steal less than $1,000, then nothing's going to happen to you. And you could do exactly what this is talking about. You can resell it, you can sell it online, you can sell it to people, you can sell it in the store that you own, or maybe you're obtaining merchandise for the bodega that you run, and nothing will happen to you. Well, Miss Hobbs just follows suit with all of that. So if you have career criminals that go into all of these retail outlets and steal and steal and steal, nothing is going to happen to you more than what it's already been at stake here. So once again, she's out there doing what the Democrats and George Soros wants her to do. Finally, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs vetoes a bill preventing biological males from showering with females in public schools, and her claim is, quote unquote, I will not sign legislation that attacks Arizonians. Really? But you will be more than happy to allow men and potentially predators or narcissists with a cross-dressing fetish, an exhibitionist cross-dressing fetish, to go into any kind of restroom, any kind of locker room, all across the state, just because if you say anything bad about these people, then you are being discriminatory. Really, you claim that you are not going to sign legislation that attacks Arizonians? Well, what happens if that same legislation that you're not going to sign happens to attack heterosexual Arizonians, particularly females that want to be left alone, to only share a locker room with other females? So, according to the Gateway Pundit, Ms. Hobbs vetoed another bill that would have defined sex as a person's immutable biological sex as determined by anatomy, physiology, genetics, and hormones existing at the time of the person's birth, and also protected girls' showers in public schools K through 12. One of these things that a lot of the mainstream media, particularly the Democrat mainstream media, doesn't want to talk about is that when these kids, these teenagers going through puberty, are on hormone blockers, anti-androgens, or hormones meant to be in the opposite sex, there is something chemically that happens to the brain. First off, an angst-riddled teenager is bad enough. Now, when you start messing around with the biology of said angst-ridden teenager, then you are dealing with a whole different kettle of fish. Look at all of the mass shootings that we've seen over the course of Biden's presidency. We all know what's at stake over here. A lot of these mass shooters have ideologies that are akin to what we see when people are taking antidepressants, and many of these mass shooters happen to be identifying as trans. So maybe this is something that we as a society should be taking a look at. Maybe we shouldn't be allowing this kind of experimentation on our youth. And I said it, experimentation. If you're 18 years and older, it doesn't mean that you're in sound mind, but it just means that you're an adult and go have a good time. You want to do whatever you want on a Saturday night, by all means, you have my blessing. If you want to go and transition to whatever sex you'd like to do, then by all means, I cannot support you enough. You're an adult. You can vote. You can smoke. You can't drink, but you could be drafted. So that means that you have a certain level of responsibility that you are aligned with. By all means, have a good time. But when you have this kind of legislation that allows teenagers to claim they are the opposite sex, to be in the same locker room as the sex that they desire, mainly a man claiming he's a female so that he can be in the women's locker room, you are messing with fire. We've seen plenty of cases also in these schools where the school district tries to cover up these incidences of, I don't know if there was a rape one, but there was definitely a sexual assault case that some of these school districts tried to cover up, and they keep it from the parents because they know how dangerous this could be. So this is another slice of evidence that we have George Soros putting his thumb on the scale that Arizona is going to be, one way or another, a woke-style state. And the policies coming from George Soros-style legislators, that is a danger. That's another way they're going to try to flip the election to go over to Joseph Biden. And also they're going to try to bring about a Summer of Love 2.0. What do I mean by that? I explained it earlier. It is the ability for the Democrats to get some kind of paramilitary force, albeit not a very clean one. I mean, a lot of these people look fairly filthy, and it looks like they haven't taken a shower for at least 6 weeks. George Soros paying student agitators to whip up anti-Israel protests. That comes from the New York Post. Paying student agitators. There was another article that I read where one of the pro-Palestinian protests that were broken up had people arrested. Over half of those that were arrested didn't even go to the school. So where are they coming from? They're using the same playbook that they used back in 2020. They're busing these protesters all over the country. Why? To make it look as though these protests are actually larger than what they really are. So we find out that there are branches coming from Soros's funded Students for Justice in Palestine, and they are the ones that are organizing these events, quote unquote, in places like Harvard, Yale, Berkeley, Ohio State, and Emory. You should always recognize the sign of an organized protest. Almost any of these protests that you see out there, whether it's BLM or Antifa, or in this case, all these pro-Palestinian protests, when they appear to be grassroots, they're never grassroots. It is almost impossible to do something like this when you have a disjointed group of individuals. If you look at all the photos, they all miraculously have the same types of tents, identical tents. So what are the odds of that happening? What are the odds that all of these protests show up across campuses almost at the same time? That takes a lot of effort. New York Post says at three colleges, the protests are being encouraged by paid radicals who are fellows of a Soros-funded group called the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. And it provides up to $7,800 for its fellows and between $2,800 and $3,600 for its campus-based fellows in return for spending 8 hours a week organizing campaigns led by Palestinian organizations. And they're trained to, quote-unquote, rise up to revolution. The radical group received at least $300,000 from George Soros, and it is only rising in funding. That's what we're talking about here. This is exactly what I'm trying to tell you. They are ginning up the idea that this country is being torn apart by the very citizens that live in it, when in fact, these are highly paid fifth columnists that are being used by a group of elites, transnational elites, to sabotage this country. And I'll leave it with this, Daily Caller. The federal government measures crime in the United States in a couple of ways, too. The Bureau of Justice Statistics, National Crime Victimization Survey, and the FBI's Uniform Crime Reporting. While the NCVS, National Crime Victimization Survey, asks 240,000 Americans whether they've been a victim of crime or not, the UCR, the Uniform Crime Reporting from the FBI, focuses on crimes that have been reported to police. And this is the problem here. The UCR claims that violent crime dropped by 2% in 2021 to 2022, while the NCVS shows the exact opposite, reporting that the number of victims of violent crime increased by a staggering 42.4%. This constitutes a rise from 16.5 victims per thousand to 23.5 victims per thousand. So they are messing with the statistics. They're messing with the statistics. They want something to run on. They want to cover up their crimes. And we won't let them. We're going to shine a light on this constantly. This is Chris Michaels for Unleashed on the America Out Loud Network. Do not go anywhere else, because we are going to have more brilliant broadcasting on today's event.